T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're just a few hours away from tip-off of the NCAA tournament in earnest. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. A lot going on today, Perloff, but as soon as those games tip off at noon Eastern time, we know the entire sports world takes a backseat for the madness of the tournament, and you are literally still filling out a bracket as we speak. We got a show to do.
I have a huge problem.
Okay. that could have been solved before the show?
No, there's one pivotal game that is determining the bracket forever. To me, there's one game. There's a pre-championship championship. I could save it. The one game that everybody's bracket should be hinging on.
Well, tell us right now.
I think that if Auburn beats Yale, that's a big if. I think them against UConn, that they're the best chance to knock the Huskies out. Because otherwise, if the Huskies beat them, they beat Illinois. I have Illinois. And I just think that they're going to dominate the Final Four. I just think the history shows that the defending champion usually loses by the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Strong trend. Every year since 2007, no one has advanced to the Elite Eight as a defending champion. So if you're going to follow that trend, that means Auburn, very well-coached team, way high up in the Vegas odds as a potential champion. So to me, that is the showdown.
So you got to make a decision. We only have a couple hours to go.
So I said on the show earlier in the week, I'm going Auburn, and I'm going Auburn. So that for me is really where my bracket either falls apart or ascends to winning.
Okay. EJ's got a couple questions for Perloff and myself. We just got one here from Perloff, but we can still go ahead and do this exercise. Hit us off, EJ.
All right. So let's get started with first number one seed to go out.
Okay, so Perloff, you just said UConn.
That's not my first number one seed.
It's not?
No.
Oh, gosh. Who's even more vulnerable?
The UNC Tar Heels. So Tom Izzo's Michigan State team, I've been reading a lot. They really didn't deserve to be a lower seed, a 9 seed. And they play Mississippi State, who I saw kick Dalton Connect's butt earlier. I like either of those teams to knock off North Carolina, who a lot of metrics are saying is the lowest number one seed out there and most vulnerable for upset.
So you have UNC losing in the second round.
I have them losing in the
State.
Second round.
Wow.
And another historical trend, number one seeds, there haven't been four number one seeds to advance to Sweet 16 in a while. So I have an early upset there.
Okay. Well, I'll just tell you flip side. I have North Carolina going very, very far. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. As far as the most vulnerable one seed, in my opinion, it's got to be Purdue. I understand that UVA lost to a 16 seed, and the next year they came back and they won it all. What are the odds that that's going to happen again? I would say extremely slim, not at some place that I would want to put my money. Plus, I have enough evidence. Matt Painter is just not a good tournament coach. I don't think Zach Edey is a great tournament player, even though he's a great college player overall. I know that a lot of people are saying Gonzaga is a bit overseeded. I have Purdue losing to Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. To me, they are the first number one seed that's going to fall in this tournament.
I don't think that's an accident. I think Zach Edey, you saw it last year, the big men, you can keep the ball out of their hands. This is a guard-run tournament. That's what happened to Purdue last year. I think that's a great call.
Okay, what's our next question, EJ?
Okay, we talked about first one seed to go out. How about lowest seed to go furthest in this tournament?
Okay, for me, that is New Mexico. I have New Mexico going all the way to the Elite Eight. New Mexico is an 11 seed coming out of the West region. So New Mexico, coached by Rick Pitino's son, I have them losing to North Carolina in that Elite Eight. But here's the path for New Mexico. So New Mexico beating Clemson, I think most people believe that Clemson is just sort of an average team in a good in a conference like the ACC. We're not even sure how strong the ACC is. So I have them beating Clemson. I actually have Colgate upsetting Baylor as one of my big first round upsets. Then New Mexico upsetting Colgate. That would have been 11-14. Then New Mexico beating Arizona. That's how I get New Mexico into the Elite Eight.
So for me, this was really tough because they're going to face each other in the second round. Should I go with McNeese State or should I go with Samford? So McNeese State plays Gonzaga, popular underdog pick, the 12 seed. Then the 13 seed, Samford, going up against an injured Kansas team. I am advancing both of them. And then I'm going to take McNeese State. I don't even know the team nickname, but I like whatever they're called, to advance to the Sweet 16.
One said the Cowboys, but don't quote me on that.
Let's see. What are they?
Yeah, and then I have actually have them losing to Purdue. Of course, if that game does happen, I am awfully nervous about my... I think Purdue can lose to anybody or beat anybody in this tournament. But I have McNeese State as my darling team to advance. A 12 seed advancing, maybe not the biggest upset ever. But the fact that McNeese State is kind of a smaller school would be an unbelievable story.
No doubt.
Okay, so the NCAA tournament is always a star-making event. You don't necessarily always have to win to become a big household name. So, player to watch for you guys in this NCAA tournament.
Okay, I'm slightly obsessed. Keisei Tominaga from Nebraska. Now, I only learned earlier this week that Nebraska has never won a game in the NCAA tournament.
Unbelievable.
Even though I believe this is their eighth or ninth appearance, they've never won a game. So I think that changes. So I have Nebraska beating Texas A&M. I think that Keisei Tominaga becomes a star. We love shooters. We love guys who can, you know, deep threes. He's got it all, and I think he will become one of the darlings of this tournament.
Okay, I'd like to say sometimes I'm a lifelong fan of this player. I'm a week-long fan of Jamal Mashburn Jr. in New Mexico. Gotta admit, don't watch a lot of New Mexico basketball. I'm not going to lie to the audience about that. But I loved Jamal Mashburn, both at Kentucky and in the pros. What a baller. Old enough to happily root for my favorite players as a young man. Their kids, Jamal Mashburn in New Mexico, who you have going how far again?
The Elite Eight.
Yes. And also Eddie House's son is on that team as well. I got a Patino floating around. This is this is my adopted player of the tournament. Does he, and now EJ, you follow this a little closer. Does Jamal Mashburn play like his dad? Any knowledge to this? He's a little smaller.
He's a little smaller, but similar in that, like, you're not talking about a above the rim guy. You're
tough
talking
nose
about
guy.
A bucket getter who's going to beat you in isolation, beat you with his mind, beat you with his skill set. Very, very good player.
14 points a game this year. He had been up to 19 and 18 the two seasons before that. They have a much better team this year. That'd be a great story.
He's a really good recruit, too. Okay, so let's get to...
Final four?
Final four picks. Right. Where are we going with the final four?
I'm happy to go first here.
Please do.
All right. Well, I have UConn coming out of the East because I think they're going to buck the trend of the defending champ not getting past the Sweet 16. I have them facing North Carolina on one side of the final four. Then I have Tennessee facing Kentucky on the other side of the bracket. My final for you is North Carolina facing Tennessee and your champion, North Carolina.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with my fandom here. Lifelong Houston Cougars fan. Yeah. I'm going to advance them in the South. Midwest, I'm bucking the trend. I think Purdue had to learn their lesson. They have to win this game. My only logic is they can't keep doing this. West, I got Arizona. I think it's a weak bracket. I think Zona, is, from everything I'm reading, is not really a strong number two. But unless Baylor knocks him out, I think they're okay. I don't like North Carolina. And I have, as I mentioned, Auburn beating UConn. But then I have Illinois beating Auburn. And I have Zona beating Illinois. And then I have the Houston Cougars knocking off Purdue. Cougars, Kelvin Sampson, Titletown, USA.
Wow. All right. There
or as Houston loses in the second round. One of those two options.
You were just giving me shades of Steve Kornacki.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so jealous of Kornacki. I could be Kornacki. I could dress like him. I don't know.
You guys got the same glasses.
Yeah, his playoff picture thing is so overrated because anybody can read the playoff scenarios. Anyway, I can wear khakis. This is a tough bracket, though, Maggie. I got to tell you, it feels like upsets are really coming, and they're coming fast. I could see people ripping up their bracket at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
And that's why we love it, and that's why I don't want this to change. So that's why expanding it to 100 teams or taking away the automatic qualifiers from the mid-majors, please don't change this thing. Like, please, college football, you guys, or college sports, you guys screw up so much. Please don't mess with this. We already love it. And you know, we have this urge in our country, in our society. It's like, if it's been one way for a long time, well, then we've got to review it, and we've got to find out where the inefficiencies are, and we've got to make everything bigger, faster, stronger. How about this? We like this thing. You guys make billions of dollars off of it. Can't we just keep it the way it is?
I think expanding from 68 to 90, or I think it's a marginal difference, honestly. Going from 4 to 14 in college football is a total game changer. We're not even going to notice. It's not going to affect anything. Really, from my day-to-day, if they go expand the tournament, I just don't think it's going to take any enjoyment, because you're still going to have the drama the last few weeks of the tournament. I mean, what's going to change?
Well, because I think what they're trying to do is just get more of these mid-level schools in from, you know, the bigger conferences. Like, I don't think it helps with your Cinderella-ness, right? Because let's take a couple of the, you know, sort of average, if you will, teams from major conferences. We talked about Clemson. Clemson's never going to be a Cinderella. You know, they're going to be a team that, they're a six seed in this tournament. So you just get another team from the ACC. They win. I'm sorry, I don't think there's going to be really a lot special about it. I'm just using Clemson as an example, by the way. I know we're on in South Carolina. It's not that I'm disparaging them. It's like teams like them.
Do you mean win in the first round or win the whole thing?
No, if it's more teams like Clemson and NC State, and I know NC State has a long basketball tradition. I'm just saying the teams that are middle of the pack in the bigger conferences, I don't think adds to the allure of this tournament. The allure of the tournament is the underdogs, the upsets, and the Cinderella.
Okay. The reality is, I don't think any of that's going to go away. And the funny thing is, Clemson, a mid-level ACC team is probably going to end up losing to the Wagners of the world just as often. Probably going to have more of these underdogs, because you're going to get more of them in too.
I don't think so. See, I don't think this is the, we're going to have more of everything. Not when you want to take away automatic qualifiers also from mid-majors. And I don't think that's why coaches like Tom Izzo are floating these things out. Do you think Tom Izzo wants more double-digit seeds like Middle Tennessee that he can lose to in the first round? No shot. Well, they want to do this to get more teams from the big conferences in.
I mean, look at this. McNeese State and Samford are not in the 15-16 line. I think there's a reality here. Drake's a 10 seed. I think that you can be not a major program and still get a high seed. I think that everyone...
But they want to change that.
Yeah. No, but all those teams are going to play earlier and knock some of them out. But the teams that survive that are going to then be very competitive. I think you're going to have you're saying you're going to have less underdogs because there's more teams in the tournament? That's not really how it's going to end up happening.
But that's what they're saying they want. They want just more Big Ten teams and more ACC teams and more SEC teams.
Right.
It's not more fun.
The reality is, no, but there will still be more. They're not going to take away any of those fun teams. You're adding another 30 teams.
Right, but if you take away the automatic qualifiers, I mean, it's just so easy for the big conferences to come in and stomp out the little conferences.
Right, but I think you're going to have a lot of those little conference teams are going to take those 32 spots as well, and they're probably going to, you're going to get worse and worse big conference teams. You're going to get their butts kicked by the mid-majors. You're going to get a bottom half of the ACC team is going to get in now, and they're going to get killed by a Samford or something. That's just what's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
Okay, but I can get Samford playing Kansas. Like, right. I'm cool with that. I like that.
Yeah, you're going to still have that.
But
I mean, Samford would
but
be,
I don't
in
think
a field of 100,
goal.
Samford would be in there, too.
No, because I think that what coaches like Tom Izzo and want to get rid of these automatic qualifiers, what I think they want is they want Samford to get taken out by Texas. St. John's or something like
that. Didn't Samford, make it.
Yeah, I mean, Samford would probably have a great chance in that game. They were 29-5. They would have gotten in close to an at-large bid anyway.
I know, but I think they want some of these smaller teams. They want to thin them out. And then they want the more teams from the big conferences to get in for more money for those schools and conferences, right? It feels like a little bit of cronyism that's happening in college basketball, and that's why. And then I think the other part is they want to thin out the herd of, you know, teams that they don't have a lot of tape on guys that they don't have a lot of experience playing against that could possibly come in and make them look stupid.
I think Tom Izzo said the uncomfortable truth that a lot of, you know, big time college basketball figures feel, which is, you know, how much do we want to see these smaller schools advancing deep into the tournament.
Right.
When you add these other teams, you're just making their road harder. This does not make the road harder for Kansas. It does not make the road harder for North Carolina. They will probably get byes, or they're going to be starting with even worse teams than they already start with. If you put those teams and say, okay, Stanford, in order to get your shot at Kansas, you got to beat some other Power 5 school, or you got to beat some other good mid-major. Maybe you got to beat Indiana State, a team who didn't get in, but we know is damn good and probably should have been in. It definitely should have been over that clown Virginia team. Like, they know that by making that road harder, you'll just get less of those teams deeper into the tournament, which is what they want.
And that's what Perloff wants.
Nominally less.
I don't think it's nominally less.
I wait till this plays out. First of all, here's a question for you, too. Are we ever going to get the Blue Bloods back again? Maybe NIL help this, but I mean, the fact that Duke's a 4 seed and Kentucky's a 3 seed here, that just seems the direction of the sport. I just don't think that we're going to have, I mean, this sport had constants. They had Duke, they had Kentucky, they had North Carolina, and now you really don't know year to year. I'm not sure why, but you can't count on them. The coaches have changed over too.
I think the last part is why we're seeing this. I know Bill Self is technically still there, but this season's a little weird from them. They've had some injuries and they've underachieved. I think the problem is that these Blue Blood programs have been revolving door coaches. Indiana revolving door, UCLA revolving door. Duke has a new coach who we have no idea how John Shire is going to be. He's inherited a castle. Like, can he keep this thing up? We have no idea. And the problem is, back in the day, while yes, you got a great continuity with these players staying, you also had Bob Knight staying someplace for 30 years. Coach Krzyzewski staying somewhere for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, Boeheim.
Boeheim, Calhoun. That helps a lot when it comes to keeping those Blue Bloods truly blue.
Also, these SEC football schools are intruding on the basketball schools that you cannot avoid. Like, why are these football schools all of a sudden amazing at basketball? That's not a good trend for the sport either. Nobody wants to see South Carolina in the Final Four in basketball.
Think about it.
On the women's side, yes, but not the men's side.
Think about it. Next year, the SEC and the Big 12 are both going to have 16 teams. The Big 10 and the ACC were both going to have 18 teams. And this is because of football. Yeah. We get it. And because the Pac-12 went away. But so 18 teams in the ACC, how many are you going to get in the tournament?
Well, I mean,
do 8 deserve to be in? I don't think so.
It's amazing to me how much better the SEC is than the ACC now. And honestly, I think that's part of the reason that people are not into this. We need Duke. Maybe it's my age. I need Duke, North Carolina to be there. And that's why I'm so fired up about NC State. It reminds me of when I was a kid and they were there every year. It's interesting to me the sport has changed drastically. I mean, drastically
years. North Carolina's a 1 seed, and I have them winning it all. Duke is a 4 seed and could very easily make it to the Final Four. So, I mean, not easily against your Houston Cougars, but again, like, they're still here. I think we've written off just because it looks a little different, because some coaches might be different. And, you know, the sport is figuring itself out in terms of NIL and the G League. Mm. Just because there are some changes now doesn't mean we have to rip up the whole system and change everything to add, you know, 50 more teams or whatever and make this thing wildly different from what we all enjoy.
Well, Kansas, we had
it's
a couple
alarmist.
Years ago. Kansas, North Carolina. That's such an exception in today's age. I mean, you're more likely to get a Baylor, Gonzaga, or Virginia, Texas Tech. I mean, These are different matchups than college basketball 20 years ago. It's really going to be hard. I think we're going to see more and more upsets and more mid-majors advancing.
And that goes back to a conversation we had a little bit a couple of days ago. Is there space, though, for new Blue Bloods? Because you mentioned a Baylor-Gonzaga national championship. Yeah. First of all, that championship was very anticipated and well-watched.
Also, Perloff doesn't consider UConn a Blue Blood.
Right, but my thing is, though, like, can Gonzaga why can't they be?
Can they be new Blue Bloods? Yeah.
Why
great
can't
question.
Baylor be Syracuse or like? Yeah. And that comes with again coaches and programs being built and being able to last a long bit of time.
If UConn repeats, they become much more must watch TV down the road. You're right. Things do change, but I don't think so.
855-212-4CBS 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in. Also, we have more details on the Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, the betting scandal that is now rocking Major League Baseball. We get to that next.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. We'll have a one-hit wonder bracket update shortly. Meanwhile, people are getting on me because they think that I'm old school at college basketball just because I want to see Duke play North Carolina in the final every year. Actually, that wouldn't be. I just think it's so funny. I'm looking at my bracket and just Purdue. Not that this is going to happen. If it's Auburn, Arizona, Purdue, and Houston, I mean, come on. Give me some.
That's your Final Four.
It is right now. I have another hour.
Okay, well, I have UConn, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee, so I did go a little more traditional.
It's not happening.
Well, we'll
see. You're probably closer than me, but you're not going to get all four. Nobody does that. Joe Lenardi's not getting all four.
I do not expect
it. I think it's going to be mid-majors, and we're going to be a little turned off by it.
Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky. Dave, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing great. Listen, you ain't going to believe who I just ran into at Home Depot.
Who?
Rob Manfred. He was looking for a big-ass broom to sweep some crap under the rug.
You know what? You should have bought it for him, because I think he's going to have to spend a lot of money on lawyers pretty soon.
I thought it was John Calipari who's looking for a new job.
Bite me, McLovin. Hey, y'all know I'm a Dodger fan, too, right?
You're a Dodger fan? I didn't know that. Well, enjoy Ohtani now, because if a couple of details of this break differently, he could find himself in jail.
Yeah, there better be some hard evidence before MLB comes down. And yeah, people ask me all the time, like my Cowboys thing. You're from Kentucky. Why in the world are you a Cowboys fan? Well, the thing about it is, I grew up in the 70s. And back then, there was only a couple of three, nationally televised sports, like football games a week. Cowboys got a lot of shine, same way with the Dodgers. And ironically enough, McLovin, I was a huge 76ers fan growing up.
Yeah, baby.
Dr. J was my dude.
Yep, that makes sense. And by the way, you're not alone in that Cowboys thing. That's why I think the Cowboys are the most popular team, because of that exact setup you said.
Yep, a lot of exposure, more exposure probably than about anybody else. So, hey, here it is. March Madness, baby. It's a Kentucky time of the year. I got to tell you, fellas, I'm feeling pretty darn good right now.
Dave, I picked them to go to the Final Four. Who says I'm not loyal to the Bluegrass State?
Bless you. Bless you, my child. I'm with you. I've actually got I got UConn, Carolina, Texas, and Kentucky in the Final Four.
Texas. You're not hearing a lot about this Texas team. You really like them.
Oh, yeah. They're sneaky good. Rebound the ball well, play good defense. I'm pretty good on them. I think they're a sleeper. Tennessee, man, is tending in the wrong direction. Trending in the wrong direction. Two consecutive bad games. We mauled them. They got embarrassed in the first game of the SEC tournament, as did we, but don't want to talk about that right now. I'm big on NC State, man, worries me. I got NC State making it through the first game, and they really worry me in the second round.
Okay, but Dave, hold on. There's some numbers behind this, that teams that get hot late in their conference tournaments, it doesn't actually help them in the tournament. Now, we'll see, and NC State's a good example of it. Dave, it's great to talk with you. Thank you. Enjoy the first couple days of the tournament. Big Dave, the warden, he's the
worse
best.
Than EJ. EJ is a Gonzaga, Miami Mets fan or whatever he is.
Yeah, Jets.
And Dave's going Dodgers, Cowboys, Kentucky. Some other teams.
It's 76ers.
Oh, it's 76ers.
Well, Pat Boyle also has a lot of weird ones. Pat, you're a Brown.
Oh, yeah. I'm no longer a Browns fan.
You're off.
I've been off the train for well over a year now. Yeah.
Okay. So who'd you pick up?
So, no. I'm like, what's his name now with the NFL hat?
Rob Lowe with the NFL hat.
I'm like,
Rob
NFL fan?
Good place to be.
I'm a fan of whatever team wins money for me on Sunday.
There you go.
But no, Knicks, Islanders. Knicks, the big one. Nothing will ever match the Knicks fandom.
There you go.
Islanders. Cubs is a little out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're on TV a lot when we were kids.
And then Notre Dame.
Right. Notre Dame is a national team. I get that.
And let me defend my fan base, because fans was pro of taking crazy shots. I'm all New York when it comes to pros.
Right.
It's just two colleges. This is not a college town. So, and I actually do root for St. John's. I root for St. John and Gonzaga in college basketball.
But you're picking geographically diverse teams. You can't go Spokane, Washington to Miami, Florida.
Why not? People pick Duke and Notre Dame.
Let's go to Kevin, who's in Oregon. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. Hey, I was listening to Perloff. He reminds me of that old man who lived across the street from us. When our baseball would go in his backyard, he would yell at us. Seriously. I mean, we'd walk across his lawn, and he'd be screaming at us. Like, what the hell? Why can't things change? Why can't there be new blue bloods?
Kevin, did you watch the San Diego State-Florida Atlantic game last year?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we all did.
Oh, I don't think the numbers show that.
Well, okay, but Kevin, thank you. The thing about the tournament, and I think why we like it, is because it does mix the diehard sports fan with the casual fan.
Right.
That's why the brackets are so great.
Right, but
everyone can participate.
And as you know, okay, this all sounds good, and I do sound like an old man shaking a stick or a jerk here, but you know that the ratings are affected when these mid-majors get all the way. That's just you can't argue with that. You're telling me that everybody sat there to watch Florida Atlantic, San Diego State? That's just not reality.
Well, here's one thing. The ratings can be one metric you can use to, you know, see how popular something is.
That's a pretty good metric.
Okay, or how much are the networks paying the NCAA for the rights to this tournament? Because that's not going anywhere. It goes up and up.
I don't know. Because, first of all, are we in a bubble on sports rights? And I do think the popularity matters. We're talking 10 years down the road. I'm not sure that they keep getting it. If the NCAA tournament keeps on slipping a little bit from its peak, in 2015, Duke, Wisconsin had 30 million watch the title game. Now it's down to 9 million. This is not good.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just because FAU made it to the Final Four.
Yes, but that's part of it.
By the way, just a little update if you've been listening along for the show for a while. Perloff called this when it was the bottom of the second inning.
Yeah.
Somehow the Dodgers were going to attempt a comeback here on San Diego. It's the top of the ninth inning, and lo and behold, this game is now a one-run game. Pat Boyle will have the details in just a moment.
And the Dodgers will go celebrate by going to the casino.
Casino's safer than what they've been doing. Not them, the interpreter for Ohtani. Good morning, Mo. How you doing, dude?
I miss you guys. I'm great.
Oh, thanks for waking up early to catch us today.
Yeah, I'm traveling right now, so I'm kind of cheating the system. I'm on the East Coast.
Oh,
but,
nice.
I'm giving a call. I wanted to discuss the tournament and then Ohtani here. First of all, to me, the way that the tournament is set up and the way NIL works, I certainly see where the blue bloods are going to always be there. But I can see a precedence where this is going to continue simply because NIL has no boundaries. And so because basketball only has five people on the court, any star, any one person who transfers makes a big difference. And so The formula for mid-majors are senior-laden teams with experience that make a run. Well, if you get that and then you get one of these guys to transfer, all of a sudden, boom, that's all you need. And they're right in the mix. And then, of course, with the blue bloods, you always have NBA-level guys that are one-and-done, two-and-done, and they're gone, so they're turning over. They can easily slip down. Because of that gap is closed just like that.
Yep.
Yep.
Because NIL doesn't care about, you know, Alabama.
Your tradition.
The richest school, right? Like Stanford has more money. UVA probably has more money than Alabama does, right? They just have more pros. So the NIL money will fly off for anywhere. And if they go, that closes the gap. So I can see where that becomes an issue. Look, as a Braves fan, I can't be more thrilled to see this crap with Sohei, because the way the Dodgers pulled that mess off and they were able to get this guy, how do you get a $700 million player for $2 million? What are we doing? Like, when I was a kid, we had layaway. Like, you got this guy with
They definitely did. It was $700 million over 10 years. He deferred $680 million of it.
Dude, that is such BS, and I don't understand how the players' union allowed that crap. Like, this is a bad precedence for one of the richest teams in all of pro sports. Mm. How?
I think the players' union, Mo, thank you. So good to hear from you, dude. Even though you're traveling, I'm so glad you could catch the show.
I thought you could say, even though you're a Braves fan.
No, it's fine. I'm used to that. I think that the players' union was never going to take on Ohtani because I think they still want these big long-term deals. Like, you'll see, we were criticizing Scott Boras now lately, has not been able to get some of his marquee free agent clients these massive long-term deals. I think the players' union is like, you want to give us 700? We don't care if it takes you 30 years to pay. We just love those figures.
Wait, what's the worst contract in baseball history? I actually don't know if it is, but Bobby Bonilla is the famous and mobile. But Bobby Bonilla's long-term contract is a joke, right? So
deferred money
can work out really well. Yeah, and also, too, you're right. As long as the money comes in, I was. Did you think the Union was going to come after the Shohei deal? Because it is a huge $700 million. It's nothing to blink at, even if it does take a while.
No, I think the Union likes it. I think the fans were just like, wait, a minute, what the hell? Meanwhile, that's the least of Ohtani's problems. Ohtani and his interpreter and friend now been caught up in an illegal betting scandal. The interpreter is the one with the $4.5 million in gambling debts. At first, the story came out that Ohtani floated, at least we know, $1 million in two different $500,000 wire transfers to an illegal bookie to try to cover his friend's gambling debts. Yep. The story then changed to Ohtani had no idea about the gambling, and now this has turned into a massive theft issue. That interpreter has been fired from the Dodgers, but that was yesterday. So this story first came out in, I think they first busted this guy in October. I mean, it's been a while. I think the two wire transfers are from January, and they just fired him yesterday. So someone's been covering for somebody. Pat Boyle is here. He's got more on this story. Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, on the field, last chance to win. Not only for the Dodgers, that's what Ohtani told his interpreter last week. Second and final game in Seoul.
Oh.
We have a home run.
Darn. Sorry. Three-run home run for Manny Machado, and now the Padres have put a little more distance in between this thing.
It's now 15 to 11. So Perloff,
not done yet.
I mean, look, I give you credit, man. You called 9-2. You said they're going to win this game, and you probably, if you put $5, it's probably like plus 1,200, plus 1,500 at least. So at least, you came within striking distance, and who knows? We have 26 runs. We might be in store for one final incredible inning, but it is 15 to 11 now with a Machado 3-run home run. One of the main stories was
Yoshi. Yeah, by the way, we're going to get to Trevor Hoffman in the ninth. Trust me on this one. Is he still there?
He's in the crowd.
Yoshi Yamamoto lit up like a Christmas tree in his MLB debut. One inning, 5 runs on 4 hits. Mookie Betts has a home run for L.A. Now Manny Machado's got a home run for San Diego. I almost said San Diego. Little Anchorman.
San Diego.
I you hit on the Ohtani stuff. I didn't.
It's just wild. It's wild. And now Ohtani, listen, you're in South Korea for this, great, selling the game and all of that and this early opening day. You come back to the United States, it's going to be a lot of cameras in your face. And I know he doesn't like to talk to the media, but at some point, whether it's going to be with a new translator, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you can't just hide from this one. It's going to be very tough. He's going to have to address some of this.
I'll be honest. Like, I know this is a very serious accusation, but I watched Barry Bonds just be dragged through the ringer with questions, cameras, scrutiny, people throwing syringes at him on the field, and watched him go out there and smack home runs around like it was nobody's business.
Yeah. Oh, listen, Ohtani could still have an MVP season, but he's going to have to come back and answer some questions. You can't just use the language barrier to skirt something, something.
For sure. My point, though, is I think he better play that way, because we've been saying this guy is the greatest player of all time. He should win every MVP award, that he's above reproach, that he's this unbelievable player. Well, the best player I ever saw faced some great scrutiny and was still hitting 400 home runs with like a 8 million on base percentage.
Yeah, but it's 1,000% different. Barry Bonds was cheating, and he was doing immense amount of steroids to do that.
First of all, we don't know what Ohtani's doing. But second of all, it's about facing adversity. It's forget about the steroid part of it.
Because no one's saying Ohtani's good because he floated this money. People are saying Bonds was untouchable because he was doing steroids. No one's saying Ohtani's such a great player because he's floating $500,000 for a friend.
But it's totally different. No, but there's still a cloud of suspicion, of things that he has to overcome. I don't care if you're steroids or not. I watched Alex Rodriguez crumble under that kind of pressure. So it's not for everybody.
Yeah, are you kidding me? If it's a 3-2 game in the eighth inning, Alex Rodriguez would crumble.
He never could handle any pressure anyway. That is my point, though. You're making exactly my point. Shohei Ohtani's never played in big games. He's never been in this situation. So, no, I don't want to hear an excuse that he didn't play great.
He'll be fine. It's baseball. You just go up there and mash.
Okay. All right. When Ohtani's hitting 220,
he's an international superstar.
I'm going to come back and say Perloff doesn't matter.
He's way above all this.
Perloff would be.
Ohtani's an international phenom. He doesn't care about
this. I'm clipping this.
Perloff would be a tremendous baseball coach. I'm 0-3, coach. What's wrong? Nothing. Just go up there and mash.
I'm clipping this.
This is apparently what Bob Gibson used to tell his pitchers.
Yeah.
Throw effing strikes.
I told this,
I did it. You do it.
I told the story the other day because LeBron was saying that basketball intelligence is the only reason that anybody's any good. Lenny Dykstra, in the opening chapter of the book Moneyball, he didn't know who Steve Carlton was in spring training. Billy Beane's like, this is Steve Carlton. He's the greatest pitcher ever. Lenny goes, well, never heard of him, but I'm about to stick it to him right now. And went out and was a superstar immediately. You don't need a brain to play baseball. Just go out there and hit. It's easy. He's going to be fine.
I had Lenny Dykstra in a broadcast booth one time nearly projectile vomit on me.
Not a surprise. By the way, you know who's psyched today? You know who's so psyched about this story? Yamamoto. $325 million, five runs, first inning. I mean, that is a bad debut. I think we're underestimating the impact of that.
By the way, who's in a worse spot? Ohtani, Yamamoto.
Quick side note, in honor of Ohtani, I bet I made a couple bets today. So I bet the under on runs, 8.5. So
sorry about that one.
And that was done in the second inning. Last two first four games last night, the game between the 16 seeds played out as it would in the jungle. The Tigers beat the Bobcats. That's how that would finish, right?
Yeah.
Bobcat's not killing a tiger.
They're scrappy.
It might be a big brawl.
I don't know enough about the differences between a bobcat and a tiger. They're just big.
Bobcat's smaller. Obviously, tigers.
Yeah, a tiger. It's not like a tiger's not fast enough. Anyway, the Grambling Tigers beat the Montana State Bobcats.
Are you one of those guys who fills out a bracket based on the toughness of the mascots? That's a strategy.
No.
Where do you put the Hatters? Is that tough?
Where do you put the
if you put a hat on a Tar Heel, you limit the effectiveness of the horns.
Well, I know Mad Hatter, the Batman villain, was quite formidable. So if I'm going with that, then Hatters should go pretty far.
Grand Canyon, aren't they the antelopes? They're out in the first round. The Boilermakers, people don't even know what the heck they are.
Still wondering if that's a train. I still need to know.
Battle of the 10 seeds, Colorado beat Boise State 60-53. The madness officially begins just under 3 hours. NFL news after the Chargers traded Keenan Allen to the Bears and released Mike Williams, who then signed with the Jets. Their wide receiver room is rather thin. Josh Palmer and now second-year pro Quentin Johnston. That's it. So when Dove Kleiman, who, by the way, I'm convinced is not a real human, tweeted their depth chart situation out, Marvin Harrison Jr. liked that tweet. Former Ohio State wide receiver, didn't attend the combine, did not host a pro day, based off him liking that tweet, wants to go to L.A. Only one giant problem. The Cardinals draft one spot ahead of the Chargers. They also have no wide receivers.
Yeah, I think he probably wants to go to the Chargers, no doubt. But do the Cardinals put that pick up for sale? And would the Vikings or another team be desperate enough to trade up to 4?
Ooh, how about the new Daniel Jeremiah rumor, too, that the Jets might trade up to get to 5 to get Marvin Harrison to pair with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, take that.
The Chargers have a lot of needs too. I don't know.
Here's the thing about the Jets. Yes, getting another wide receiver, I'm sure, is what every Jets fan would want. You need another tackle.
Yeah, No. You're thinking long term, Maggie.
No, I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is 40 and you might want some more offensive line.
That seems like the smart long term play to me. But I
would not want to waste a first-round pick knowing this is an all-in year on a guy that is not going to be in my starting lineup.
That person
won't be.
You think Tyron Smith's playing a whole season?
He's not going to start week one.
Okay, so who? Mekhi Becton?
Yeah, but do you want
to go back through the Jets' depth chart and offensive line?
No, but I'm saying, though, like, Tyron Smith, he's been playing, like, except for a few bad seasons, 13 games a year.
I get it, but there's a reason he's available at 34.
Yeah, but do you want a rookie in front of Aaron Rodgers?
I want bodies in front of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know. Rookies can be trouble there.
That's a risk. I want somebody that I know is going to be lining up 50 times a game.
Give me Malik Nabers flying down the field on that one. Oh, by the way, we're treating the Jets like a fantasy team.
He's driving at his other ACL. It's not going to matter who's playing wide receiver. Yeah.
All right, last thing here. We don't have time to get to the J.B. Bickerstaff stuff, which is good. Basically saying he's had gamblers threaten his family and whatnot. But the one NBA score we haven't touched on from last night. Perloff, do you hear that?
What's that?
Here comes the play-in tournament. How did it feel getting torched by Grayson Allen last night? 32 points. Suns beat the Sixers 115-102. Devin Booker, one rebound shy of a triple-double. Sixers now the same record as Miami, who they don't own the tiebreaker against, so eighth in the East.
How did it feel? It felt like nothing, because when you kick a dead man, the dead man doesn't feel anything. And this Sixers team died a long time ago.
Oh, I love the excuses. Love it.
Wait, I thought that all the cool kids are playing in the play-in tournament. Isn't that the place to be?
Not in the East.
Well, unless Embiid comes back. Then all of a sudden we're talking about something, but this team is... Dude, it's weird. You take out the MVP from a team and they're not good, Pat. You can't get to me.
Oh, you know what?
The
Knicks have had three of their best four players out for months, weeks, and they are still rolling right along. I don't want to hear it.
Get them, Boyle.
The last thing anyone wants to hear right now is the Knicks and the 76ers. I think I speak for America.
If you want to see profanity, go to Pat Boyle's Twitter feed. What's your handle?
Pat Boyle 44.
Yeah, after Knicks lost, he dropped so many curse words. It is wonderful. You get angrier than EJ.
We have the only update you'll need today. That comes your way next. It's the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket. Do not move. More show. Thank you, Pat.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In just a minute. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, well... We have last-minute bracket advice for you, at least what we're doing. Quickly, let's update the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket of one-hit wonders. Yesterday was the cruising region, so we've got some updates for you. One massive upset, but first we start with the chalk. Take On Me by A-ha. Easy win over I Just Died in Your Arms, a song that EJ had never heard of until yesterday. Number 8 seed Breakfast at Tiffany's takes out Don't Worry, Be Happy.
I'm a little surprised by that. I thought Don't Worry, Be Happy was going to be strong, but I think people hate that song.
I love it. The 4th seed, Don't You Forget About Me, Simple Minds takes off If You Could Only See by Tonic. Perloff still protesting that Simple Minds had many hits. They just happened to be in the UK.
Great song, though.
11-seeded Spirit in the Sky upsets Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground. And 14-seeded Video Killed the Radio Star upsets 3-seeded Love Fool by The Cardigans. So even Love Fool appearing in a episode of The Office, not enough to save it from Video
Killed
the Radio
Star. The problem was, actually, I didn't know that that song was Love Fool. When you sang it to me, I'm like, oh, that song.
Yeah, you want to sing it again?
Love me, love me. Oh, my gosh, I lost my voice. Wait, what? Is that the right song?
Yes. Sure.
Fool me. I don't even know. I don't even know that song.
That's apparent. 7-seeded Afternoon Delight holds off Somebody I Used to Know. And another huge upset, 15-seeded Stacy's Mom takes out 2nd-seeded Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, come on.
I know. I was sad about that one, too.
Stacy's Mom is a fun song, too.
Yeah,
Walking on Sunshine is iconic. I'm very surprised.
Yep. So there you go. All the Zach Wilson fans out there and stands. Stacy's Mom is your anthem.
I figured out this bracket. Some songs, you know the song, but you don't know the name of the song. Mm. So I think that is the key to advancing. Like some Stacy's Mom, it's easy. Oh, like that song. You know, If You Could Only See, you have to sing it to know it.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want, we do this and update this every day at 7:20 Eastern time is when we actually do play the songs. So you can get all those stuck in your head free of charge. Okay. So that's the last thing. NCAA tournament, last minute predictions, Perloff. I would say your bracket hinges on two things.
Yeah.
Auburn taking out UConn.
I know. That's my big, big upset. I find, and I'm actually going to stick with Purdue. I understand, you know, you've been trying to talk me out of Purdue for very good reason. It's hard to trust Matt Painter. I think they've learned some of their lessons and they make the Final Four.
Okay, and your other big one is you making a big bet on Samford.
Oh, heck yeah. Samford over Kansas. Is that a big bet at this point? Because Kansas is, obviously has some injury concerns. That is a wild little... If we have Samford and McNeese State in the second round, that would be really fun. What's your big upset?
My big upset is I have New Mexico going to the Elite Eight.
Oh, come on. Yeah. The first round is not a big upset.
No,
the
Elite Eight.
That's pretty good. Ooh, that would be fun.
And I have North Carolina winning it all, which is an unpopular one seed. It's still a one seed, but it's unpopular.
I think you would win a lot of brackets with that. If that did happen, because everyone's putting UConn to come out of that side.
Okay, if you still want to participate in our bracket, you can do so right now. EJ, can we retweet?
It's been posted.
Sweet. Yeah. So you can go to our social media, at Maggie and Pearl. That's where you can not only vote on One Hit Wonders, which we released our fourth region today, which was the Turn It Up region. So you can go vote. We also have our Pearl Jam season three. That's our March Madness bracket. Go in and you can say you beat two national radio hosts in a bracket challenge, because that will happen.
A lot of people are going to get to say that.
It's another feather in your cap. You can brag about that at the office. Hey, no Maggie and Pearl off? Yeah, I just beat them in a bracket challenge.
It's tough. It's tough. We could go chalk and have a better score, but I like that we're taking some risk here.
There we go. This is going to be fun. We will be back tomorrow. Oh, we forgot to tell people what's at stake today. Whoever gets the most first round games correct today, that person becomes king for a day or queen for a day tomorrow on the show, and they get to call the shots over everyone else on the show.
Oh no.
Ready.
Who's gonna be king for a day? Find out tomorrow. Thank you, EJ, Pete, Andrew Kaplan, Pat Boyle.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.